Part 4, Seventh Year. Severus, Harry said, holding his hands out. I'm so sorry. I got here as soon as I'd heard, but Professor Dumbledore had some problems locating me in Mongolia. Severus took both of his hands and just held them for a moment, trying to gain control of himself. He was wearing an ill-fitting brown muggle suit that hung on him. His eyes were red-rimmed and his face deathly pale. There was a sadness that clung to him, making him seem much older than his 17 years. Thank you for coming at all. I'm going to go home now, Sev, Lily said. She was the only person there. Call me if you need something, okay? Thanks for coming, he said softly. She put a hand on his arm before she slipped through the door. Where's your father? Harry asked, looking around. Not that he really wanted to meet the bastard. Down at the pub. His disgust came through loud and clear in his tone. Do you want to take a walk? Harry had never been good at dealing with grief, his own or anyone else's. But for Severus, he would make an effort. No, I'd just like to sit for a while. Severus slumped onto the sofa. Harry sat down awkwardly in the chair beside it. What happened? Muggle flu. Severus laughed and started to choke. She was so worn down that she couldn't fight it off. He wouldn't let me brew anything for her, and there's no money to buy medicine. Muggle bastard drank both of their paychecks. Severus took deep breaths. I'd like to hex him for that alone. He opened his mouth to say something else and then closed it. His eyes went wet. Harry knew he shouldn't, but he couldn't help himself. He knelt on the floor and took Severus into his arms. It's all right. It's not! He killed her! I hate him! I hate everything about him! Severus said against his neck. Sorry. Sorry. He started to shake. Severus soaked the shoulder of Harry's muggle suit. As he cried, Harry rubbed his too thin back, whispered nonsense into his ear. When Severus reached the hiccuping stage, Harry pulled back just a little and wiped his face with a handkerchief. Better? It's never going to be better. It will, I promise. Harry moved the greasy hair away from Severus's face with the flat of his hand. The boy looked at him, his eyes still wet. The back door slammed, and a thin man came into the room. While his hair was short, it was obviously dirty, and his hawk nose was even bigger than Snape's had been as an adult. He was wearing an ill-fitting muggle suit, similar to the one Severus had on. What the fuck is going on here? Tobias Snape shouted at both of them. Harry pulled back and stood up. I'm Harry Potter, from your son's school. Fucking freak! What are you doing with your hands all over him? He made it sound dirty. Harry had been ready to cut him some slack today, but that comment changed that. Before Harry could even open his mouth, Severus stood up to face his father. Leave it be, da. I'll not have him manhandling you. Tobias wasn't even looking at Severus. His hands closed into fists. You're enough of a pansy without someone making you into more of one. He turned to Harry and smiled. His teeth were broken and yellow to the point of being almost brown. I tried to beat some toughness into him, but he was too much of a freak for it to work. Harry really hated when someone used the word freak as a description. And this man was already grating on his nerves. I would rethink your choices. No, I think I'm going to teach you a lesson about being a Nancy boy. Tobias laughed. Severus pulled out his wand. Don't you go near him, da. I'll hex you. But Tobias just laughed again. You're not allowed to use it on me. He may not be able to do magic, but there is no such restriction on me. Don't cross me, Mr. Snape. Harry shook his head very slightly, hoping Severus would understand not to correct him on the assumption. Better to let Harry handle this. Tobias blinked. He took a step towards Harry. A little thing like you? You think you can take me? I don't think it. I know it. I don't think you want to test it, though. Really, it would not do you any good. Tobias swung and connected with the brick wall shield that Harry had silently thrown up when Tobias moved towards him. The crunch of the bones in his hand was easily heard in the quiet room. He screamed, holding his hand.
What did you do to me, you freak? My hand is broken!
Harry was an inch from losing his temper entirely, but he took a deep breath and managed to pull back. That wouldn't do Severus any good. I'm sure it is. You should do something about it.
Get out of my house! He looked at Severus. Both of you! I don't let you stay this long because your mum wanted me to!
I need to pack. Severus was stepping towards the narrow staircase.
Now! I want you both gone now!
Tobias was shouting again. What do you need, Severus? Harry asked, gripping his arm. Clearly, Severus was on the verge of losing his temper too. Harry didn't want him doing something he might regret. Or worse, that would bring the MLE down on him. Trunk. Books. All of them, including my mum's. My robes. Severus ticked off. Harry waved his wand and the items requested all flew down the stairs and packed themselves into the trunk. Within a minute, Harry handed Severus a 1-inch by 1-inch cube. Do you need anything else? Nothing. He shot a sneer at his father. Nothing at all. Let's go then. Harry held the door open for him.
Do you have your operation license yet? Harry asked, closing the door behind him. The neighborhood was deserted.
Of course, Severus said. He motioned for Harry to follow him into the alley behind the house. It had the air and smell of disuse that went with the rest of the rundown neighborhood. Let's go to the Leaky Cauldron. I'll get you a room there.
Where are you staying?
Severus glanced around. Someone was taking his trash out, and they both watched him.
I live at Hogwarts.
Harry wanted to be gone from here before someone saw them, or Tobias looked out the window.
We need to go.
One more second. Severus looked back at the house and then nodded. They both arrived at the pub within a second or two of each other.
Are you hungry?
Never mind, Harry said, as he started to shake his head. You should eat something. Fine. Severus headed for one of the tables in the back.
I could eat.
Growing boy.
I am. I'm way taller than you now, in case you hadn't noticed.
Severus smirked as he sat down.
You were taller than me halfway through last year. It would be hard not to notice.
Sometime in the last year, he'd lost the last bit of boyishness in his look. Harry could see the adult he'd become in his face. While he wouldn't be handsome, he wouldn't be ugly from bitterness either.
What can I get you? Tom asked.
Mr. Snape and I will have whatever's on special, Harry said.
Right away.
Tom went back into the kitchen. I liked it better when you called me Severus.
When did I do that?
Because he really shouldn't have.
Severus gave him an annoyed look.
When you asked me what I needed to take with me.
Right. I called your father, Mr. Snape. I could hardly do the same with you.
Harry looked over at him.
What are we going to do with you for 3 weeks?
Why don't you let me come to Hogwarts with you?
There's no one there to supervise you before all the teachers come back.
I'm an adult. I hardly need supervision.
Harry managed not to even crack a smile.
Of course not, but those are the rules.
Are you going to leave me here without any supervision?
Point. Hogwarts would be the better option. You'll be bored to tears.
What would you have done at home? Harry asked. Watched the telly and argued with my father. Well, we'll pick up your supplies and robes after lunch, and I'll call the headmaster to see what he has to say. Tom brought them their dinners, and Severus tucked into his as if he hadn't eaten in a long time. It was possible that he hadn't. Tom, Harry called. Can I use your flue? Going already? Severus asked, stuffing a roll into his mouth. No, I'm just going to make a call. Do you want mine? He pushed his half-eaten plate at Severus. Thanks, Severus said, already starting to dig into it. Harry, Dumbledore said, his head floating into the flames. Is there a problem? Only that Tobias Snape threw Severus out. I was going to put him up at the Leaky Cauldron for a few weeks until school starts, but I'm not sure it's best to leave him on his own for so long with nothing to do. Indeed not. I don't generally allow the students here without supervision, but perhaps I can make an exception in this case. I was thinking that. He won't admit it, but he's pretty upset about his mother. Maybe we can find something for him to take his mind off it. What do you have in mind? I was thinking that maybe he could prepare the bases and ingredients for the coming potion classes. Dumbledore nodded. I'll flue Horace and ask him what Severus can do to help out. Very good. I'll bring him up with me. There will be a meeting later tonight, and we'll be discussing a specific problem. What problem? Harry asked, and then sighed when Dumbledore shook his head. Not on an open flue. As he'd done every year, he'd spent the summer traveling. Once he'd got a taste for seeing other places, he'd seen no reason to stop, even if he wasn't looking for something specific. It gave him a whole new perspective on the wizarding world. I'll be there. Dumbledore called the meeting to order. We have a significant problem with several students being courted by Voldemort.
They are just children, Molly Weasley said, as if that mattered when it came to ideology.
Percy sat on her lap, squirming and whining. They are almost adults, and some of them are dangerous. Mad-Eye Moody looked at Harry. Especially Severus Snape. Severus isn't a Death Eater. He wouldn't be that stupid. Harry refused to believe Severus would associate himself with the violence and death of Voldemort. Don't be naive, Harry, Kingsley said, giving him a sharp look. He's been going out with Regulus Black for almost 2 years, and he's been associating with Black's friends, picking up their ideas. He's never said anything about it. He and Kingsley had split up last spring, just before Harry had gone away for the summer. They had remained on friendly terms. Kingsley's parents had arranged a marriage for him, and he'd agreed to it. Severus knew how Harry felt about Voldemort and the Death Eaters, and probably wouldn't mention anything about it in Harry's presence. Not only that, but Harry was aware of just how much Severus wanted the things that he didn't have. There were obviously some promises that the Death Eaters could make that Severus might listen to. I'll speak to him about it. Be careful what you say, Dumbledore said. You don't want him to take that information back to Voldemort. He wouldn't do that. Harry wanted to believe that Severus wouldn't betray him. Unfortunately, it was too easy to see the hunger in Severus's eyes. I wouldn't bet on that, Kingsley said, and his expression was grim. Harry rubbed the bridge of his nose with weary fingers. Do you know something more? Something you haven't said? There were several raids this summer where junior Death Eaters took part. We're fairly sure that they didn't take an active role, but they watched as Muggles were tortured and killed. We spotted Snape in the crowds during at least 2 of the raids. Harry's stomach twisted, and he started to feel sick. He'd worked so hard to see that this didn't happen, and it was happening anyway. Where had he gone wrong? Don't beat yourself up, Kingsley whispered. Some people are just bad.
No, I refuse to believe that of Severus. I'm going to speak to him and see if I can't get him to back off.
I suspect he's in too far. He'll be taking the mark, if he hasn't already.
We're fairly sure that Regulus has already taken it, Alice Longbottom said with a resigned sigh. Harry would have said that Regulus was too young, but he remembered the speculation that Draco Malfoy had taken the mark before the beginning of sixth year.
Harry, a moment of your time, Dumbledore said as he stood to leave. The room cleared out and Harry sat back down at the table. We need to discuss the last Horcrux, don't we? Sirius Black had come through with the Hufflepuff Cup last year, right before Bellatrix's wedding to Lestrange and his own split with his parents. Dumbledore nodded. You said it was in Malfoy Manor. I'm pretty sure it is. The diary was entrusted to Lucius. I hope that he's just keeping it in his library. Harry would need some time to find it once he got inside. If he got inside. Do you have any thoughts about how to get it? Dumbledore didn't look hopeful. I've been thinking of a way to get myself invited to the manor. Unfortunately, the couple of times I've seen Lucius Malfoy since he left school, he's been coldly polite to me. And even if I did get in, wouldn't it seem very suspicious if the diary went missing right after my visit? Perhaps we can transfigure something to look like it, and then it might not be missed for some time. They'd done the same thing with the locket. Good thought. I still need an invitation. Maybe your friendship with Severus will help with that. Instead of warning him away from Voldemort, I should make it seem like I'm interested? The very thought turned Harry's stomach. I think it might work. Clearly, Dumbledore didn't know Severus as well as he thought he did. He'd never buy it, Harry said. I've spent quite a lot of time telling him he shouldn't be playing with baby Death Eaters. Perhaps you can make it seem that you were interested in hearing what Voldemort has to say. Dumbledore could be such a bastard when he tried. Oh, he understood that Dumbledore was more concerned with the greater good than any specific person. But sometimes, he was a little more cavalier with people's emotions than Harry could stomach, particularly where Severus was concerned. I can't believe you would even suggest such a thing. I don't want to lie to him, and I especially don't want to hurt him. Dumbledore turned a sad look his way. Don't you think that if he becomes a Death Eater, he's going to hurt a great many more people? Maybe he would. Harry hoped not, though. He still believed that Severus would do the right thing. All right, maybe if I know what he's being told, I can, I don't know, counteract it. That's all I'm asking, really. It will get you into Malfoy Manor, and perhaps you can nick two birds with one stone, as it were. Suddenly, very tired, Harry stood. I'll talk to him. The fall was unusually warm this year, and the grass and trees were still leafy when school started. Harry found Severus outside under a tree, reading, his long legs stretched out in front of him. Severus, Harry said, sitting down beside him, I want to talk to you about something. What about? Severus's tone was wary, and his eyes darted around, clearly looking for escape. He closed his book carefully. Harry took a deep breath. About your friendship with Regulus. I'm given to understand you're still going out with him. What do you care? Severus sneered, looking annoyed at the presumption. I'm an adult now. You can't tell me whom I can see. I wouldn't dream of it, but I do want to warn you against making decisions you might regret for the rest of your life. And Harry had the certain knowledge that he put behind his words. Not that Severus was going to listen to him. How can you say that? Have you ever listened to Lord Voldemort? He makes a lot of sense. He's a dark wizard. I've heard that, A lot of people are afraid of him, but he wants glory and honor for all wizards. He'd separate us from the Muggles.
Is that why he kills them?
They are worthless. Harry took a deep breath. Your father is worthless. But surely there are other Muggles who are not.
I don't care about them. And before you ask, not even Evan's parents. What has any Muggle ever done for me?
It might be better to ask what they did to deserve to be tortured to death. This wasn't going the way he wanted, but it was hard to even pretend to be interested in what Voldemort spewed out. What are you trying to find with them?
Severus blinked.
I think you know what I want. I want people to respect me.
And you think that Voldemort will help with that?
How?
His people came to me. They courted me. They tell me I will do great things, and that they will help me, that I can do great things for all wizards. I want to.
And you believe them?
Why? I don't understand.
You'd have to hear him talk. Lord Voldemort understands that the ministry is crumbling, that it is decadent, and that we need sweeping change. It won't be easy, but it's something worth doing.
Severus sounded like a convert already.
Harry wondered what he was going to do when Voldemort asked him to kill the first time. Severus was so young and so filled with his own hatred.
He sighed.
I do want to understand why you'd believe in this.
Severus sat up and blinked at him.
Really? I can take you with me to one of our meetings. You can meet him, and you would understand after that. I know you will.
The white peacock strolled along the path to the entrance of Malfoy Manor, reminding Harry of unpleasant times. Even if it hadn't happened yet, and might not happen at all, being here put a lump of dread in Harry's belly.
You have to hear him speak, Professor.
Severus was leading him along. He'd received permission to bring Harry, and seemed so damn excited about the whole thing. The entire situation gave Harry a bad feeling, but getting the diary would be worth an evening of listening to Voldemort's rhetoric. He sincerely hoped he could keep his mouth shut.
Mr. Potter.
Voldemort held out his hand. His face was pale, and his features seemed burned and blurred. They were waxy and oddly distorted. The whites of his eyes had a bloody look to them.
I have to say, I'm surprised you wish to come tonight, though I'm very pleased by it.
Harry wasn't sure what he'd been expecting, maybe something closer to the good-looking Tom Riddle from the diary. While this version did look more human than the snake-like version Harry had known, he didn't look completely human. The tearing of his soul to make the Horcruxes had obviously taken its toll. Before he met Voldemort's eyes, Harry occluded his mind with thoughts of what Severus had told him about Voldemort and a carefully constructed curiosity. Severus has spoken so highly of you and your ideas. I wondered if perhaps I'd misjudged.
Yes, I wanted you to tell him about how you see Wizarding Society changing. How those changes are for the best,
Severus said excitedly.
Don't interrupt his lordship, Severus, Lucius Malfoy said tightly. You should know better.
Nonsense, Lucius. Severus is just excited to be a part of something that will change our world, aren't you?
Severus nodded eagerly, his eyes alight with pleasure.
Yes, my lord. Why not let me take a walk in the gardens with Mr. Potter? We'll be in for dinner in a bit. You don't mind waiting for us, do you?
He smiled at Narcissa. She smiled back, but it didn't reach her eyes.
No, of course not, my lord.
Harry finally escaped Voldemort's company and found the library. What he really wanted was to find a washroom and have a bath. He couldn't guess what they promised Severus that he would buy into such insanity. He hoped he'd made the right responses, but Merlin, it was hard when he wanted to vomit on Voldemort's shiny shoes. After a deep breath, and then another, he was ready to look for the diary. It was ridiculously easy to find it in the bookcase. Most of the books were leather-bound first editions, with a few other things thrown in. The diary was smaller than the rest. It was almost too easy. He'd put a charm around it to seal in the magic, and then slipped it into his pocket. He was about to replace the copy in the bookcase when the French doors that led to the patio opened. Severus came in, standing in the doorway for a moment, looking windblown with his clean hair flowing around his shoulders. The light softened his harsh features. Harry felt a stirring that should not have been associated with Severus. Before he could even consider it, Severus sidled up to him and slid his arms around Harry, leaning down to kiss him. For a second, Harry was too stunned to move. Then Severus's hand slid down the front of his trousers, and heat burst through him. Oh yes, Harry thought, his hips pushing forward into Severus's hand. This was where they'd been headed for a long time. It should have shocked him, but he was too busy drowning in Severus's kiss to worry about it. He groaned, tightening his arm and sliding his tongue into Severus's mouth. His hands, of their own volition, moved into Severus's robes, looking for purchase. Severus pulled back to look at him for a moment, then leaned down again. His tongue swiped Harry's, and sensation exploded on his tongue. The world narrowed down to Severus in his arms and Severus's taste in his mouth. The universe shifted in some fundamental way, but he couldn't stop kissing long enough to figure out how. Truth was, he didn't care about anything right then, except laying Severus on the fancy Persian carpet and fucking him until they both couldn't think of anything else. "Excuse us." Lucius's tone was far too amusing for Harry's liking. It did occur to him that Lucius and Voldemort had been watching them, possibly for the entire time they had been kissing. "Oh, God!" Harry moved away from Severus. "I'm sorry." "There you are, Lucius. I told you there was an explanation as to why someone who is in Dumbledore's pocket might show up looking for information." Voldemort chuckled. "I believe you and I will talk again, Mr. Potter." "What do you have in your hand?" Lucius asked. "I picked it up from the bookcase. It's blank." Harry made a show of putting it back. "I'm sorry, it caught my eye. It just looked out of place." "Yes, it does. It doesn't belong in a bookcase such as this." Voldemort's tone was cold. "Come along, Severus. We should get back to school." Harry tangled his fingers into Severus's and tugged slightly. Severus nodded. "Good night." They did not speak again until Harry had cast a silencing spell on his office. He turned to Severus. "What the hell was that?" Severus folded his arms across his chest. "I think that was saving your arse. They couldn't figure out why one of Dumbledore's men would suddenly show up except to spy on them. I gave them a reason." "How did you know?" "I overheard them talking in the garden after you left, and I went to find you at the same time they did. I've seen them feed people to a huge snake. I wouldn't want that to be you." Severus was visibly shaking. "They would hardly kill me." But Harry wasn't actually sure whether they would have or not. It was possible that they might have done it. And if they had wanted to take him down, he'd been far too outnumbered to save himself. Oh, he might have been able to take a couple of them out with his old aura spells, but it was unlikely he could have taken all of them, even with Severus to help. "Oh, don't think for a moment they wouldn't do it." Severus put a damp hand on Harry's arm. "They would have killed you." and you don't care about that?
Severus pushed him away and glared.
Of course I care about you, you idiot! That's why I came in and kissed you, to give you a reason for being there.
He looked right at Harry. I know you set me up in there, and I hope you got what you wanted. Don't call me names. I'll take points for disrespect. But that wasn't the issue.
Don't try to change the subject. I know you set me up.
He didn't even let Harry respond.
I know you, Professor. I know how you think. You wanted something at Malfoy Manor and were willing to use me to get it.
Harry would have to make a point not to underestimate Severus's perceptiveness in the future.
About that.
Are you going to tell me what it was?
As much as he wanted to trust Severus, Harry couldn't. Not quite yet. There was too much at stake. Too much he didn't know yet.
No, but I want to remind you that you shouldn't have... Don't even try to deny you kissed me back this time.
There was no denying it now. And Harry wasn't even sure he wanted to.
I guess I did at that. He touched his mouth. Almost without his being aware of it, Severus had grown into a man. If not a handsome one, then certainly a striking one. And this Severus bore little resemblance to the bitter, ugly man that Harry had known as a boy. But that was not the issue now.
You need to choose what you want from your life.
Severus folded his arms across his chest and glared.
I already have.
Tell me then, because I don't want there to be any misunderstandings between us.
Fine. I choose you.
Harry blinked. He ruthlessly squelched the pleasure that was trying to evade his chest. I'm not one of the choices here. I meant between Voldemort and the light.
I'm not sure I appreciate the way you put that, with Lord Voldemort in the wrong, said Severus angrily.
He is wrong. He doesn't have the right to kill people who weren't born with magic. He doesn't have the right to kill people who don't agree with him. And I think you should know that.
Severus's eyes flashed, and then he looked down.
I don't want to kill anyone. Except maybe Potter and Black.
Given everything, Harry wasn't going to address that.
I think we need to have a talk with the headmaster.
I'd rather not. He's not inclined to look kindly on me. Not anymore.
You haven't been marked, have you?
It would require the killing of a muggle. And as much as I hate them, I don't want to kill one. Not even my father.
Nice to know you're not capable of patricide.
Severus grinned evilly.
I'm enjoying the idea that he's going to be miserable for a long time to come. I wouldn't want to cut that short.
Of course not. All right, let's go have a chat.
Harry's mouth was suddenly filled with Severus's tongue. Without even meaning to, he closed his eyes and let the kiss happen. His head started to pound and his pricks started to harden. He moaned, sliding his hands into Severus's hair and anchoring his head. The kiss gentled. Slow pushes and pulls of Severus's thin lips, soft little flicks of his tongue. Severus melted against him, sleek and firm in his arms, and Harry let him, holding him tighter and sliding a hand into his robes.
Oh, sweet Merlin, what was he doing? He had to stop.
One more second, just one more. But no, he had to stop. Slowly but firmly, he extracted himself from Severus's hold.
No, we can't.
What? What? Of course we can.
Do you remember what I told you when you were 15 about teachers abusing their students? It still applies.
He wished he could convince his aching prick of that.
Except that I'm an adult in Wizarding Society and can give consent.
Severus pointed a long finger at him. And you're not my teacher.
It doesn't matter. I'm a teacher at your school, and you're a student. How would you feel if I gave you a detention?
Wouldn't be the first, would it?
And think about all the fun.
That is why this isn't going to happen. Not now.
Severus's eyes lit up.
But later? When I finish school?
I refuse to make you any promises. Not now.
Fine. But he not only didn't seem upset, he seemed almost amused.
That worried Harry more than anger would have.
I fail to see why I have to accompany you to see the headmaster. Can't you tell him what he needs to know without me?
Severus said for the third time in as many minutes.
He could whine like no one's business when he didn't want to do something.
If it wouldn't have seemed completely childish, Harry would have put his fingers in his ears to stop having to hear it.
They reached the gargoyle that guarded Albus's office.
"Lemon drops," Harry said, and the gargoyle stepped aside to let them up.
"I don't see what the problem is. Professor Dumbledore will be pleased that we were successful."
Harry followed Severus onto the moving stairs.
"You still haven't told me what it is you retrieved out of Malfoy Manor."
Severus's voice held his curiosity.
Harry just shook his head.
"No, I haven't," he said as the stairs deposited them at the open office door.
Dumbledore stood as they came in.
"You were successful?"
"Yes, and Mr. Snape helped me out. They think I'm at least willing to listen to them."
Harry had vague plans to return as often as he could manage it. There was a lot of information that could be helpful to the Order. And wouldn't it be ironic if he was a spy this time?
"And how is that accomplished?" Dumbledore asked, his tone already suspicious.
"I gave them a reason for Professor Potter to be willing to change sides."
Severus stared at Dumbledore and then looked down.
They wanted to know why he'd even considered it.
"And what did you do?"
Severus's face turned red, but he didn't look down.
"I made them believe that Professor Potter and I were involved."
"In other words, he kissed me. Rather passionately." Harry was pleased that he'd managed to say it without giving himself away by blushing.
"All things considered, it was a good idea. I think they bought it. I'll be able to go to a few meetings, I think. Maybe find some information about what they are planning."
Dumbledore nodded.
"No, you're not going back there!"
Severus put both his hands on Harry's arms and turned him around. He shook his head frantically.
"You can't! I couldn't bear it if something happened to you, and I know it will."
Harry patted one of Severus's hands. He wanted to move the hair out of Severus's eyes, but that probably wouldn't be appropriate in this circumstance.
"Nothing is going to happen to me, okay? I think it will be fine for me to go back."
"Do you think you can, Harry, without endangering yourself?" Dumbledore asked, speculation coloring his tone.
"He can't, but I certainly can," Severus said, dropping his hands and turning to Dumbledore.
"Can we trust you?" Dumbledore asked.
Severus straightened and his gaze met Dumbledore's.
"I wouldn't do anything that would endanger Professor Potter."
"If it's not safe for me to go back there, then I certainly don't want you going either."
It would be even more ironic if after everything, Severus became a spy anyway.
"I'm already committed, or they think I am," Severus said quietly, looking down at his feet.
"I'm in a lot deeper than Professor Potter could be without being marked."
"Why don't you want to be marked?"
Dumbledore's expression was blank, but Harry rather thought a lot rested on this answer.
Severus drew in a deep breath and exhaled slowly.
"Part of what they require before you take the mark is to kill a muggle. I don't want to do that. And there's no leaving his service. I'm stuck."
"How have you avoided it so far?" Harry asked. Regulus Black was probably in the same position.
"By telling him I'd be ever so much more useful to them with a complete education, and that if the headmaster knows I'm marked, He might expel me. He met Dumbledore's eyes. I think he's afraid of you. Dumbledore didn't say anything to that. If I were willing to trust you, and I'm not saying I am, what do you want in return for the information? Severus looked pointedly at Harry, and then cleared his throat. Nothing. I won't say I don't agree with some of their theories, because I do. I don't like Muggles. I just don't want to kill them. That's very honest of you. Dumbledore actually sounded pleased. I've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Harry wasn't sure what about this conversation was bothering him, but it seemed off somehow. You know, if I didn't know better, I'd say you had this planned. Severus smirked at him. Oh, right. Ever since I was 11, I've been plotting to make sure you ended up with me. Only Harry was afraid he heard the truth in that. But he wasn't going to ask him about it in front of Dumbledore. Severus would never admit to it. Is that truly your ultimate goal? Why was Dumbledore smiling like that? Harry didn't like that smile at all. Of course it is. His voice laced liberally with sarcasm. What other goal could I possibly have had? I don't know, Dumbledore said, still smiling. What do you want? I think I've already said what I wanted. He looked at Harry and then back to Dumbledore. I've got homework I need to get done. May I go? Yes, fine. We'll appreciate any information you can bring back to us. You don't think he was serious, do you? Harry asked after Severus had closed the door behind him. Dumbledore chuckled. It seems unlikely, but I wouldn't completely discount the possibility. And you find that funny? Because really, Harry didn't believe it, and if it were true, it wasn't at all funny. Not funny, no. But I do think young Mr. Snape knows what he wants, and will stop at nothing until he gets it. I just misjudged what he wanted. Dumbledore looked at him over the rim of his half-moon glasses, and his eyes were twinkling. Harry looked down, and then he laughed, impressed despite himself. Well, he is a clever bastard, isn't he? In a little-used classroom in the dungeon, Harry raised the sword and brought it down as hard as he could into the diary. The sound it emitted was unearthly and horrible. Dumbledore, who was standing beside him, winced. It started to bleed out black ink, and then smoke. Another high-pitched sound filled the room, and that gave way to an eerie silence. Well, that was every bit as awful as it was when I did it the first time, Harry said, remembering 11-year-old Ginny lying unconscious in the Chamber of Secrets. Part of him would always love her and mourn for what was lost to him. At least the sword worked. I'm sure Godric would be glad to know you found so many uses for his sword. Dumbledore sighed. Actually, I didn't use the sword the last time. Dumbledore looked up. What did you use? A basilisk fang. Dare I ask where you acquired it from? Harry laughed. I killed a basilisk right before I did in the diary. I didn't even know it was a horcrux at the time. Do I even want to know the details of that? Now that I think about it, maybe you should know them. The basilisk is probably still living in the Chamber of Secrets. Excuse me? Remember when Hagrid was expelled for supposedly opening the Chamber of Secrets? Well, it was actually Tom Riddle, and there's a huge basilisk down there. Somehow he knew about it. That's what killed those people. It was the monster. Dumbledore nodded. And you're saying it's still there? And you kill it in the future? My past, actually, but yes. I think you might want to have someone take care of it sooner. Not to mention that basilisk skin is a rare potions ingredient and will no doubt fund your scholarship fund for years to come. Dumbledore smiled at him. That's very practical for a Gryffindor.
How did you know?
By the points. It's obvious, my boy.
I'm not sure that's a compliment.
Harry picked up the dead diary and put it into the cauldron of acid. It smoked and slowly dissolved.
You haven't said anything about what happened with Severus last night.
Dumbledore held out his hand for Harry to precede him out the door.
We should discuss this in my office, I think.
You're probably right. Because there was no one in the corridor didn't mean that no one was listening.
They walked in silence until they reached Dumbledore's office.
I don't plan for anything like that to happen again. I can tell you that.
You don't seem nearly as upset as you were the last time you did something like this.
I know. He's older now. I still wish he'd change his mind, but I know him well enough to know that he's not going to. He is the most stubborn boy I've ever run across.
Dumbledore chuckled.
More so than even yourself?
I'm not nearly that stubborn.
Of course you're not.
Dumbledore sobered.
You do know it's against the rules.
You don't even have to say it. I would never.
Never is a very long time when you've got a stubborn young man instigating things. You may find yourself in a situation not of your making.
Harry was not going to sleep with Severus until he left school, if then.
I am just as stubborn as he is.
I hope so.
I can't believe this!
Severus slammed into his office, throwing himself on the sofa.
What can't you believe?
Harry looked at him, sprawled there, and then forced himself to look away. Once he'd started to notice Severus's long, lean body, it was hard not to think about what it would be like to touch, or to lick, or to taste, or... He shivered and pushed the image out of his mind, focusing back on the present.
Lily is dating that dunderhead James Potter!
The shock and horror in Severus's voice was so great that Harry had to bite back a laugh.
So?
This had been going on since the beginning of the school year.
Didn't you know that?
No! Severus whined. How can she do that to me?
I don't think it has anything to do with you.
Harry shook his head. No, he absolutely did not find that pout adorable. What he needed to do was find someone else to date for the rest of the term. Except he didn't want to date anyone else, and Severus might gut him if he tried.
But it does! She's my best friend, and she's dating him! I just can't believe it!
Severus closed his eyes and leaned his head back against the wall, his long neck bared. Harry did not want to lick it. No, he did not.
You have to admit, he's been better this year.
Very slightly.
He's still a total and complete prat, and I hate his guts.
Severus put a hand on his chest and rubbed it back and forth idly. Closing his eyes, Harry breathed out sharply.
Yes, I did get that.
How can she do this? I tried to talk to her and she went mad, said I had no right to tell her whom she could date, just like she didn't say anything when I was going out with Reg. But she did. She complained long and bitterly about it. And the other people I saw. You know how much she hated Avery? I mean, yeah, they don't like mudbloods, but...
That snapped Harry out of his pleasant fantasy.
Okay, Mr. Snape, think about what you just said.
James hates me every bit as much as Avery might have hated Lily. I still liked her.
And that made perfect sense to him.
And she'll still like you. She's put up with you this long. I expect it will be for life. Which was something else Harry was grateful for. He might never be as popular as James Potter, but Severus wasn't friendless.
I wasn't worried about that.
Of course not.
I want to stop her seeing him. He folded his arms over his chest, as if he actually had any say in the matter.
Did you stop seeing Reg, when either Lily or I told you you should?
Of course not. You were wrong. And besides, I wasn't going to marry Reg. She might do that with James, and then I'll be stuck with him forever.
Harry knew he would be stuck with James forever.
You do know that James and I are related.
Severus gave him a withering look.
But you don't like him.
He's my cousin.
After so many years, the lie rolled off his tongue without hesitation. And in truth, James was much closer to being a cousin than he was anything else. I expect I'll continue to see him for some time to come. At least until Rose died. And Harry hoped that wouldn't happen anytime soon.
Crap. That means I'm going to have to see him too, no matter what.
Well, I still don't want Lily to waste herself on him. The casual assumption that Severus would remain a part of Harry's life should have bothered him much more than it did.
Calm down.
I am calm! Severus huffed and pointed a finger at him. This is very serious!
You're skirting pretty close to the edge, Mr. Snape.
When are you ever going to call me Severus?
When you leave school.
Or turn into a grown-up. Harry didn't have high hopes for that happening anytime soon.
Speaking of leaving school, do you have any plans?
Of course I do. I've applied to several potions apprenticeship programs. There's one in healing at St. Mungo's. There's another one in research at St. Juliana in Paris. And a third one in dark arts at Durmstrang Institute of Dark Magic. Lord Voldemort said he wanted me to look into that one.
A chill raced down Harry's spine at the mention of Voldemort.
I thought, don't worry, I'm not seriously considering it. But I don't want to tip my hand yet. I won't let him mark me. But haven't I brought you back some interesting information?
Harry didn't like the idea of Severus spying.
So, London or Paris?
It would be 2 years away from here, but I'm thinking seriously about Paris.
Harry nodded.
I think that time abroad would do you a world of good.
I can also flew home on the weekends. It's not that far.
No one has ever been able to get near him in a duel, Kingsley reported at the next order meeting. We've had our best duelists go after him now that you've said it's time, and they've had no luck at all.
I wonder if I need to do it, Harry said.
Why you? Alice Longbottom asked. I mean, I know you're powerful. We can all feel it. But are you that much more powerful than the rest of us?
I'm not sure that I'm much more powerful, but I am a good duelist.
That good? Frank Longbottom asked. If you are, why didn't you go into Aurors? They would have taken you in between sessions if you could beat one of the best.
Harry shrugged. The timing wasn't right for it. Can we set something up where I can come with you on one of the raids?
I don't know. I'd have to figure out a way to sneak you in under the noses of my superiors, who would not allow it, Kingsley said.
Perhaps I can help with that, Dumbledore said.
How, Albus? Arthur Weasley asked. Molly wasn't with him tonight, and Harry hoped he'd be able to ask after her when the meeting was over.
Carrying twins was never easy, but he'd bet anything Fred and George were even worse than regular ones.
I'll speak with Fudge about letting Harry come along. I can say he's specially trained from America.
I'm not sure even you can convince him. And really, we'd better make sure he is trained.
Harry was across the table and holding his wand to Moody's throat.
You were saying?
Very good, Kingsley laughed. I've sparred with him, Moody. I could have told you he's got good reflexes.
Nothing like a practical demonstration.
Moody patted his robes down and smiled.
Let me know when, Harry said.
Rumor has it you're sleeping with Snape. James lounged indolently on the sofa,
His mother had just left to see about their Christmas Eve dinner. Harry couldn't quite believe that James had the balls to ask that. But James was nothing if not reckless. "You know, if it were true, I could be fired." "No one would care," James shrugged, not even looking at him. "Obviously someone does, or they wouldn't ask." "I just can't believe you'd have such bad taste." "Funny, that's just what he said about Lily," Harry said, smiling at him, and trying not to think about Severus's sprawl on the sofa in his office. "Point," James laughed, surprisingly good-naturedly. "I can't stand him. I'm hoping you're just being obstinate and you're not really going to bring him home." "Since this is your home, you could simply not invite me." But Harry hoped it wouldn't come to that. "Thing is, I have two cousins, you and Devlin."
"And your point?"
Harry rather thought he got the point, and was rather surprised, but pleased that James was turning out so much like his parents. It was as if James had finally grown up this year. Or maybe it was Lily's influence. "I might not like you, but you're family, and that's important." Harry laughed. "Thanks, I think." "It's nothing personal. You have horrific taste in friends." "And your friends are so much better. Tormenting people who are less fortunate than you are?" Harry had always made a point of not getting into it with James at the holidays. He loved Rose and wouldn't do anything to hurt her. And this would. "Never mind." "No," James sat up. "I've wanted to talk to you about this for a long time, but you refused to bring it up." "There's a time and a place for it, and now isn't it," Harry said, glaring at him. "Really, James should know better. It's the holidays and all." "It's not like we can talk about it at school. You're as likely to give me a detention as talk to me. Which isn't very sporting of you, by the way." "Right. I treat everyone the same. I dare you to say otherwise." James grunted. "Maybe, but I'm family. You should treat me better." Harry didn't know if he should laugh or cry. There are enough people who give you special favors for your looks and charm. You don't need me doing it as well. "No, of course not. You're the champion of the greasy underdog." "Well, someone has to. You, who should be gracious and grateful for what you have, only want to rub it in the noses of people who don't have your privilege. It's amazing you didn't end up in league with Voldemort." James went white. "How dare you say that? It's him that's in league with you-know-who, not me." "Or not, as it happens. He was dating one of them, and I know Regulus is a Death Eater. Sirius told me." "It doesn't matter who he dated. He's not associated with Voldemort in any way." "Except as a spy. But as much as he got to like James this past year, he was not ready to tell him about that. One false word might endanger Severus." "I'm surprised you're even here. I thought you'd be with him since he's not going home for Yule this year." It was on the tip of Harry's tongue to tell him that Severus had no home to return to, but he bit it back. Severus would not love him for talking about his home life. "As it happens, I'm going to be back at school tomorrow to help out. Several extra students stayed this year." "Right, so you won't be here for dinner tomorrow night?" James seemed ticked off by that. "I just said that." "Fine. Lily is going back up to school as well. Maybe I should, except..."
"Except what, dear?" Rose said. "Can I get you a refill on your eggnog, Harry?"
"No, thanks." Harry nodded in acknowledgement. "You need to be here." "Sirius and Remus are coming over tomorrow anyway," James sighed.
"Not Peter?"
Rose sat down beside him and pushed James' hair down. He squirmed just like he had when he was 11, and fluffed his fringe back up.
"No, Peter is acting funny these days. I'd just as soon not have him around."
Harry bit his lip.
You might want to rethink your friendship with him.
James wasn't half as annoyed as Harry might have expected.
Why? What have you against Peter?
I don't have anything against him, but I'm not sure he's...
Harry shrugged. He didn't want to condemn Peter without knowing something concrete, but he also would have preferred to see James think twice before trusting him.
He may have other interests that you don't know about.
What do you mean, dear? Rose asked. Do you know something about him?
I don't know anything for certain, but I'm not sure he's trustworthy.
But you think Snape is?
I don't get that. James scowled, but after a moment, his expression turned thoughtful. At least he was thinking about it. That was really all he could ask for.
As soon as Dumbledore entered the Room of Requirement, Harry pulled out his wand and shouted, "Expelliarmus!" He caught the wand as it flew away from Dumbledore.
"Was it something I said?"
Dumbledore said, smiling faintly.
"I needed to disarm you so I could use your wand. I need to be its master."
Dumbledore's forehead creased, and he tilted his head back.
"Why would you need my wand?"
"It's the Elder Wand, isn't it?"
Harry looked down. It looked just like the one from his time.
"It is. I should have realized you'd know about that, too."
"I'm not sure I'm going to need it, because I'm not sure my own wand is a twin to his in this timeline. But," Harry shrugged,
"you can take it back from me when I'm done with it."
"I'm fairly certain that I'll need to do more than that. It will know if it's staged."
"That's why I did it this way. I had planned to take it from you since I realized I'd be staying."
"I only hope it lets me take it back."
Dumbledore looked down and then back at Harry.
"There are other ways of mastery, you know."
"No, I didn't. And I'm sure I don't want to know that." Harry slanted him a look, hoping he was hiding his shock. He did not want to be discussing this with Dumbledore. Now or ever. It was just wrong.
Dumbledore chuckled, but his cheeks were red above his beard.
"I only mention it for the future. If I don't manage to win the wand back, you might need to know that."
"Part of me wants to know how you found that out, but really, I'm afraid to ask."
Harry's face was heating up fast.
"I took it from someone that way. I believe it's why I won the duel."
"Gellert Grindelwald?
Where did you hear that? There aren't that many people left alive who'd even remember."
"And there would have been even fewer at the time before Rita Skeeter's book came out."
Right. There was this book?"
He saw Dumbledore's horrified expression and coughed, not meeting his eyes.
"So maybe this wasn't a good topic after all."
"I have that to look forward to in the future. Dare I hope it's a fair accounting?"
"I'd heard that it was, but I thought it was common knowledge at the time."
"Not especially. Not at all. We were very young and obsessed. Do you know what happened to Ariana?"
Harry nodded.
"I feel like I shouldn't be surprised, but I am."
"It's not like I'll tell anyone, if that's what you're worried about."
"Harry, you wouldn't have made it this far if I didn't trust you completely."
"I've never understood why you did. I mean, I landed at your feet. You had no idea who or what I was."
"Oh, I had an idea. And the way you first looked at me and said you knew me, and when you closed your eyes, it said that you'd grieved for me."
"You saw that in one look?"
Harry shook his head to clear it. "This was Albus Dumbledore."
"Of course you did. Tomorrow I'm going to go with Kingsley and his team. We think the Death Eaters are going to attack the Ministry."
"I'll be there as well. I have business with the School Board of Governors, as it happens, and several Order members will also have business at the Ministry tomorrow.
We have a strategy session later tonight. He looked at the wand in Harry's hand and sighed. I need to find another wand. Sorry, said Harry, trying to look at least somewhat apologetic. I hope I can defeat him with this without him even realizing what it is. We're all hoping that. Now, about the situation with Severus. You've been spending a lot of time with him. Harry had planned to let Dumbledore know about him and Severus, and this was as good a way as any. There's nothing to know. The time we spend together is in my office, with the door open. I'm not sleeping with him. I'm not even promising anything. But I doubt that's fooling him, and he is already possessive. You allow that? I find that surprising. To be honest, I'm not sure I have a choice. I said nothing to him, of course, but... Harry shrugged. He might as well be upfront about it. He knows very well how I feel. I thought your relationship wouldn't lend itself to that kind of closeness. Dumbledore's tone was perfectly neutral. So did I, but... Harry looked down, his face heating. I guess he grew up without me even being aware of it. I do wish that he had waited another year or two. He's seen nothing of life beyond this school. He's applied to go to Paris, hasn't he? I'm hoping he gets it. It'll take him away from you for 2 years. I know. What is between us will wait. And this is a wonderful opportunity for him. It will let him see what else is out there, so to speak. That's generous of you. I want him to make an informed decision, one that he won't come to regret when he's older. I somehow doubt that he makes any decision without considering all angles. Harry laughed. I suspect you're right. Harry climbed the stairs to his tower rooms, breathing out in relief when the door closed behind him. The strategy session with the Order had lasted longer than he'd expected. His neck and shoulders were stiff from the hardback chairs. Even though a hot bath might help, Harry wanted his bed more. Without turning on the lights, he put his wand on the table beside the bed and stripped down to his pants, dumping his clothes on the floor. He'd pick them up in the morning, if he had time. He slid into bed, right into another body. His instincts kicked in and he was out of bed, holding his wand against the intruder's throat before he'd quite got that it was Severus. What the hell are you doing here? Harry took a breath and hoped his heart would slow down before it burst. I thought we had an agreement about what was appropriate. No, you handed down an edict and expected me to follow it. I didn't agree. Severus sat up, and thankfully he wasn't naked. Harry, of course, nearly was, and Severus was staring at him like he was an ice cream treat on a hot day. Oh, fuck. Did he have to lick his lips like that? Severus met his eyes, and they held all of the lust Harry had expected. But there was something else there, too. Something that made Harry feel warm inside. If you die tomorrow, I won't ever know what it's like to be with you, said Severus quietly, but intensely. How do you even know what's going on? I'm the spy in Voldemort's camp, remember? I don't hear everything, but I do know something major is going to happen tomorrow, and I also know your classes were all canceled. Something about you being sick and in the infirmary? Severus shook his head. I can add all this up, you know. Lord Voldemort is going to try and take the ministry, right? Be that as it may, it doesn't explain what you're doing here now. But Harry could see it in his eyes. He was afraid. Because it might be our only chance, and I don't want to waste it. You don't think much of my dueling abilities. Well... You're teaching Muggle studies and not defense. Severus sighed and looked at Harry's sharp look. There are a whole lot of variables that need to be accounted for, but mostly I just don't want to lose you. Harry wanted to say that he wasn't going to die, but he couldn't with any certainty. This Voldemort didn't have any of Harry's blood in his veins, so there was nothing to tie them together. In addition, Harry didn't have his mother's protection in this timeline either. The danger was quite real. It would actually make a lot of sense for him to die. Then the paradox of there being two of him wouldn't happen. He sighed. And what happens if we do this and I don't die? I'll be sacked for it in the morning. Not if no one says anything, and I go back to my dorm before dawn. Severus smiled at him. And maybe I'll send you into battle with a reason to stay alive. God save me from overdramatic 17-year-olds. Harry half expected an explosion from that, but Severus just sighed. I'm 18, and you know you want me. The accompanying smirk wasn't as confident as it should have been. As hard as it was to admit, Severus was right. Harry did want him. It pinched, too, that Severus was so unsure of him. That was probably why he wasn't undressed, and to reject him now would do neither of them any good. It might, in fact, harm the possibility of a future relationship. Whom was he kidding? He wanted Severus. Wanted to touch and taste and lick every square inch of him. His prick ached from wanting him. The few months that lay ahead weren't endless, but if he did die tomorrow... With a sigh, he pulled back the blankets and slid into bed with Severus, his back against the headboard. Severus's eyes widened with tentative joy. Yes? Closing his eyes, Harry let out another sigh. It was wrong, so very wrong. They should wait. But Severus was here now, and while he might pay for it tomorrow, Harry needed him tonight. I'm sure this is a bad idea. But yes. The smile that lit Severus's face was worth it. He crawled up Harry's body to plant himself in Harry's lap, sitting with his knees on either side of him. Slowly, Severus slid his fingers into Harry's hair and tilted his mouth up as he brought his own mouth down. Something inside Harry went soft at the gentleness of the kiss. Severus's lips ghosted over his, not settling at all, but instead continuing to move, to nip softly. His tongue slid out and licked slowly, delicately along the edge of Harry's mouth. Harry's stomach tightened and his breath fled. Severus's mouth closed over his, and Harry let himself melt into the kiss. Good. So very, very good. His fingers shook as he worked the buttons on Severus's shirt. He only lost two of them in his excitement. His mouth left Severus's so that he could nuzzle his long neck, kissing down his collarbone. Oh, God! Severus breathed when Harry bit gently onto one of his nipples. His back arched, driving it further into Harry's mouth. He suckled just a little harder, and Severus moaned again. His hands traveled along Severus's thin back. He'd put on some weight over the school year, but not enough. Harry could feel all his ribs. Harry made short work of Severus's trousers and pants, and finally had him stretched out on his back in the bed. Delicate pale skin, punctuated with spots of dark hair under his arms and in the middle of his chest. A glory trail leading down to the thickness at his groin. He was a feast for the senses, and Harry knew where to start. Leaning forward, he licked a stripe down the middle of Severus's chest to his belly button. Severus made the most unlikely sound. Harry looked up and chuckled. Did you just giggle? Don't be silly. Of course not. I wouldn't do that. But Severus was smiling. When Harry bent his head to do it again, Severus made the same sound. You were saying? Wizards who don't finish what they start get hexed. Right then, Harry said. He was sure that Severus would not appreciate being told he was adorable, so Harry bit it back for later. Intent on a new destination, he bent his head and continued looking down the dark line on Severus's belly. Harry buried his face in the dense hair, breathing in deeply the earthy male smell of Severus. He loved it, loved everything about Severus. He was also aware of the need in Severus right now, something that was answered in him, something that had brought them together in this way when reason said they should have waited. Without hesitation, he closed his mouth over Severus's hard prick, taking him in as deeply as he could. Severus's back arched, and he thrust once, twice, and a third time, before he came with a yell.
"Oh, God! Sorry, sorry! I can't believe I did that so quickly!"
Severus put his arm over his face. "It's hardly unexpected. I'm sure you'll be good to go in a few minutes." "Let me do something for you first," Severus asked, his voice low with invitation. "Do you want to fuck me?" Did he want his next breath? But he hadn't expected that so soon. "Only if that's what you really want to do." "What do you think?" Severus rolled over onto his belly and spread his legs. "Anytime you want to start." Harry closed his eyes and breathed out. What trust did it take for him to lay himself out like that? Harry wanted to be worthy of it. Starting at the top of Severus's spine, he licked down each indentation, mouthing the vertebrae. When he got to the small of Severus's back, he nuzzled his face into the soft skin there before spreading apart his arse cheeks and blowing across the heated flesh. "Oh, God, please," Severus moaned. Harry rubbed his fingers along the crease, and Severus bucked against it. "Please," Severus whined. With a smile, Harry bent his head again, tracing with his tongue where his finger had gone. Severus made a strangled, mewling sound. "Please," he whimpered again. Harry bent to his task, his tongue sliding in and out, the taste of Severus invading all of his senses. He loved what it did to Severus, loved listening to him moan and whine and beg. After a while, Harry pulled back. "What? Why'd you stop?" Severus demanded. "Keep going." "I could, or I could do something else." He slid a finger over Severus's entrance and felt him shudder deeply. "I'm assuming you've done this before?" "What do you think?" Severus shoved back against Harry's finger. "Does hurry up mean anything to you?" "Only that you didn't answer the question." Severus turned around and glared at him. "Do you want to hear about my conquests? Reg and I did everything together." He thought about making Severus give him the details, but that might not be fair. Instead, he touched his wand to Severus and muttered, "Lubricus." Severus said as Harry pressed his finger in. "Just a bit to the right. There. Yes. Perfect." He canted his hips back and moved with Harry's finger. Even if Severus had done this before, Harry was happy to take his time with the preparations. "Come on, Harry, please, get on with it." Through the whole process, Severus directed and moaned and whined in an effort to get Harry to move faster. The impatience was nearly too adorable to bear. Finally, he took mercy on Severus, arranging his long legs over Harry's shoulders and pressing in slowly, heat surrounding him. And it was Harry who moaned and then flew with a sensation of bliss. He tried not to laugh as Severus continued to issue orders, and then he didn't have the breath left to do anything other than gasp. His balls tightened, and he was flying, losing himself in the feeling of coming home. The morning sun hadn't even started to show through the cracks in Harry's curtains when he opened his eyes. He stretched his hands over his head, his body more sated than it had been in a very long time. He turned to Severus, who grunted his displeasure, before closing his arms around Harry.
Don't even think it. You need to get up and get back to your common room.
Severus made a whiny, disagreeable sound and tried to roll on top of Harry.
No time this morning.
Harry slid his hand down Severus's back, over his bum. Then he brought it down with a smack.
Up, now.
Oh, I'm up. And don't hit me. Severus frowned. It hadn't been that hard. Harry made a mental note not to do it again.
You need to take a shower before you go back.
Fine. Severus sighed and then sat up, but made no move to get out of bed.
You smell like sex. Do you really want to go back like that?
Funny about smelling like sex. But Severus went into the bathroom, and Harry heard the shower come on. He thought about joining him, but neither of them would get to where they needed to be if he did. Severus came out, dressed in his trousers and his shirt.
I'm missing two buttons. He glared at Harry.
You didn't mind last night. Besides, you're a wizard. Fix it with a charm.
Accio Snape's buttons.
He held out his hand and they came to him. He waved his wand and both attached themselves to his shirt.
See, good as new.
Harry stood and walked over to him.
Now go. I need to get dressed.
I rather like you as you are. Severus's hand slid down his chest to fondle his prick, which was very interested in the proceedings. It took more willpower than he had right then to step away.
Severus, please.
Now that's what I like hearing, you begging me for a change. But he did stop, and then he sighed.
A kiss for luck?
Harry pulled him close. Severus was several inches taller than Harry, so he stretched up, and Severus had to stoop down. The kiss was threatening to become something more when Harry finally pulled back.
You know, we're going to have trouble dancing with you being so short, Severus drawled as he picked up his book.
There isn't much I can do about it. Besides, when do you suppose we'll be dancing together? If he could avoid it, Harry didn't dance at all.
I was thinking of our wedding reception.
Ask a stupid question.
Which won't be for quite a while.
Severus smirked and left. Harry lurked in the ministry lobby, holding a newspaper, trying to look like he wasn't there without a reason. The attack was supposed to take place at 10 a.m., and it was quarter past that now. Trust Voldemort to be late. All of the flues flashed green at once, and Death Eaters started to step out. Harry's heart sped up. This was it. The Death Eaters, all dressed in robes and masks, congregated in the lobby. The Order seemed to appear out of nowhere and face them. Harry wasn't sure who fired the first hex, but a second later, the battle was engaged. Hexes and curses were flying everywhere, and several people started screaming. Voldemort flew in after the fighting had started, and Harry tracked his progress across the large room. He wasn't engaging anyone, and no one approached him. Harry stepped out of the shadows and moved towards him. Voldemort looked up at his approach.
Come to join me, Mr. Potter?
I think not, Harry said pleasantly. I'm not inclined to kill those I don't like or who don't agree with me.
Pity, because you're going to die now.
Again, I think not.
Oh, but you will.
Voldemort raised his wand and Harry cast Expelliarmus! At the same time, Voldemort cast Avada Kedavra! The two spells hit each other like a crash of two trains, the clang drawing everyone's attention. The power behind Harry's spell caused Voldemort's wand to come spinning towards Harry's outstretched hand. The curse was still emerging from its tip. When the wand turned halfway around, the curse struck Voldemort mid-chest. The look of surprise on Voldemort's face was priceless. Harry would have laughed if it hadn't been so deadly serious.
"You killed him!"
Bellatrix screamed, raising her wand.
"Avada!"
But before she could do more than turn, Alice Longbottom screamed a curse at her, and it hit Bellatrix in the chest. She looked down at the blood rushing out of her for a moment, her expression shocked, and then she crumpled to the floor. Alice picked up Bellatrix's wand and snapped it. Well, good riddance to bad rubbish. The rest of the Death Eaters were rounded up and unmasked. Surprisingly, Lucius Malfoy wasn't among them, and neither was Regulus Black. But Avery, Crabbe, and Goyle were all there, and so was Peter Pettigrew. "They all need to have fair trials," Harry said to Dumbledore. "They can't just be sent to Azkaban." "I'll see to that," Dumbledore said. A very young Rita Skeeter raced in with a camera.
"You killed he who must not be named," she asked Dumbledore breathlessly.
"No, I didn't. Harry Potter did." Dumbledore nodded to him. She looked disappointed. "Aren't you the Muggle Studies teacher?" Harry tried not to laugh as he nodded. "Though, next term, maybe the headmaster will let me teach Defense Against the Dark Arts."
"You may count on it, my boy."
"Congratulations on the apprenticeship. I understand you were offered all three," Harry said. Severus had come into his room late one night, right before the end of the term. Newts were the following week, and then school was over. Severus should have been revising, but Harry hadn't been able to keep him away. Harry was fairly sure that Dumbledore knew about him and Severus. So far, he was pretending not to notice. They'd been discreet the last couple of weeks, but there was no mistaking the spring in Severus's step, or the gleam in his eyes. "Pending my Newts scores, of course. I think I'm going to take the one at St. Mungo's," Severus said, sitting on the sofa. Harry looked up from the pile of parchments he was grading and frowned at him. "Why? I thought the one in Paris was what you wanted to do that kind of intensive research." "It is, but..." Severus looked down and let out a long-winded sigh.
"What?"
"I don't want to go to Paris without you." A part of Harry's heart warmed that he didn't want to be separated, and another part cheered that Severus had admitted it. But the grown-up said, "I'll be here on weekends, and when you get back." "I don't want to... This isn't about me. You should take the Paris apprenticeship, since it's what you want. You shouldn't sacrifice your desires for any reason." Harry met his eyes and wouldn't drop his gaze until Severus looked away. "Except that you're being all noble and sacrificing. You don't want me to go, do you?" "Oh, sweet Merlin." Harry could hear the question as if he'd spoken it. "Severus, you know you are dear to me."
"Don't you do it. Don't you tell me to go for my own good," Severus ordered, his eyes huge and frightened.
For a moment, Harry kept his mouth closed, but he couldn't let this go. "I want you to go to Paris." He held up his hand before Severus could speak. "Not because I want to get rid of you, not because I don't care for you, but because this is the best thing for you."
"You might meet someone else while I'm gone," Severus said quietly.
As much as he might have been ready for promises, Harry knew that Severus wasn't. It wasn't the right time.
"I might. But it's unlikely, since I've already got a lover."
"Of course you do. But what if I meet someone?"
"Then I'll try and be mature and wish you well."
As much as he hoped he'd be mature about it, Harry didn't think he'd manage it with any grace at all. He could see it happening, too. Severus was young and brilliant and had the whole world in front of him.
Harry felt every one of his 29 years now, and 10 or 20 on top of that. "You'd let me go? Without a fight?" Severus's tone was incredulous. "I can't hold you down if you don't want to stay."
"But I do want to. That's what I'm saying. I want to be with you. I...
Severus drew in a deep breath.
"I love you."
Harry closed his eyes. "I love you too." And he did. Enough to want what's best for you. And that means going to Paris.
"What if you find a way back?"
Severus's face went red, but he didn't back down.
"Would you leave me here?"
"I'm not going to find a way back. It's been too long." There was a part of him that would always miss his old life, that would mourn for Ginny and the children they might have had, that would miss Ron and Hermione with a longing that nothing else was going to fill. But after 7 years, he knew it was too late. Even if he did find some way back, it would never be the same. He couldn't regain the life he'd lost. And his life here was good. He had friends and a lover, and he wasn't the boy who lived. It didn't even things out completely, but it came pretty damn close.
"You never admitted that before."
"What? I told you about my research, and I've mentioned..."
"No, you've hinted around the edges. And I'm smart enough to read between the lines. Despite what or who you look like, you're not from here."
Severus made an impatient gesture with his hands. Harry could say he was from Britain, or even repeat the lie he'd been telling for years. But this was Severus, whom he hoped to build a life with, and that had to be done on a platform of trust.
"What do you want to know?"
Severus blinked. "Where are you from?"
"Be more specific. I'm from Britain. I am a half-blood."
Harry met Severus's eyes. "I didn't go to the Salem Institute. I went to Hogwarts." "Gryffindor, right?" Severus's look was smug beyond words. Harry couldn't help but laugh at it.
"I guess it shows."
"From a mile away. But you didn't go before, so it must have been after?" Severus's brow creased. "You knew me as an adult, didn't you?"
"Why would you say that?"
Harry did not want to tell him about Snape, about the mean-spirited, horrible person he could have become.
"Because you said to my mother that her father had been kind to you, but she didn't remember you, which probably means you didn't meet him. I can only assume from the timeline you came from, you meant me. But I can't see me being a kind person."
Harry shrugged. Snape was someone that his Severus didn't need to know about.
"You can be," he said finally.
To which Severus snorted.
"To you, to other people I care about. Mostly, though, I don't care about people. They're nothing to me."
"We need to work on that." Not that he had any real hope of changing Severus. In truth, he rather enjoyed him the way he was. Severus was socialized enough to get along in the world, and really, that was all he needed.
"Don't change the subject," Severus scowled at him. "Tell me."
"No, it doesn't matter anymore." And at this point, all the information could do was hurt him. Harry saw no reason for that. Severus frowned.
"Was it that bad?"
"Yes, it was bad. And no, I'm not saying anything else. We've strayed from Paris." He could almost see Severus debating with himself whether to push the issue or not. Finally, Severus just let out a long sigh. "All right. I do want to go. Can we get to other things now before I have to go back down to my dorm and study for the rest of the night?"
"I'm glad you're going to go without a fight." He'd known Severus wanted to go, but clearly he wanted it more than Harry had realized.
"What did you call this?" Severus waved his hand between them. Instead of answering, Harry tossed the quill onto the stack of tests. There would be no grading for a while. He stepped around his desk and held open his arms. Severus was in them in a second, kissing him, his tongue pushing into Harry's mouth, his hands burying themselves in Harry's robes, clinging tightly. Harry tipped his head up, opening his mouth wider, his arms tightening around Severus's skinny back under his robes. Severus's tongue explored his mouth for a moment longer, and then he pulled back and pushed Harry's hip a bit so that he'd sit on his desk. Harry grinned. With a flick of Severus's wand, Harry's clothes vanished. "What do you have in mind?" His already hard prick twitched. "That's for me to know and you to enjoy." Severus took off his robes, but not the rest of his clothes. He pushed Harry back on the desk, pressing his leg up. The wand point touched him, pressing in just a bit, moving around in a circle around his entrance. A tease, nothing more. Harry writhed, canting his hips and biting back a moan. "Severus," Harry panted, and his wand went in a little more. Severus laughed, and the evil sound sizzled along Harry's spine, his aching balls tightening again. "Lubricus," Severus whispered. A warm rush moved through Harry, and he sighed. "Finally, something." Severus's long finger slid into him, and Harry moaned. There was nothing like the feel of a lover preparing him for fucking. He adored it. "Please," Harry moaned, when Severus wouldn't get with the program. "Now." "When I say, Harry." The sound of his name on Severus's lips was still unique enough that it sent another thrill through Harry. "Just remember, turnabout is fair play." "Right. And don't think I've forgotten what you did to me the last time. You thought I'd forget." "Since it was only yesterday, it's unlikely." Harry drew in a breath as three fingers hit the right place all at once. "Oh, Merlin." "Got it in one." Severus pulled his fingers out and shoved his trousers and pants down. He lined himself up and pressed in without any fanfare. Harry moaned softly, trying to cant his hips into Severus's thrusts. But Severus wouldn't cooperate. He slid in deeply, but slowly, his prick sliding over that perfect place, making Harry whine louder. "Harder, damn it!" But Severus kept up his slow, steady pace, driving Harry mad as pressure built and built inside him without release, without hope of release, unless Severus gave it to him. Harry surrendered to it, giving himself over to Severus's care, his touch, his hands and mouth and prick, as he'd never done with anyone else. And Severus took him and teased him and gave him what he needed, what he'd known he'd needed, and what he hadn't as well. He pressed Harry into the desk, harder, faster. Pleasure broke over Harry, and he was shattering, whining, and begging, and he didn't care. It was good, brilliant. After a moment or two, Harry became aware of how hard his desk was, especially with Severus draped over him. There was a quill sticking onto his side, and the ink bottle had turned over onto the tests he'd been grading. Maybe making use of his desk wasn't such a good idea. Severus heaved himself off Harry and leaned back down to kiss him. Good. I hate to fucking run, but... You've got revising to do. How many newts do you think you'll take? Harry sat up and put a hand on his back. The desk was too hard. Or he was too old to be fucking on it. All of them. Severus smiled and did up his trousers. Of course you will. My clothes? Harry didn't see them. Severus's smile was chagrined. Might have been vanished someplace. Where? Harry could just see them turning up on Dumbledore's bed. Or worse, one of the other teachers.
Should be on your bed.
But the "I hope" was unspoken. I'll take it out of your hide if you killed another set of my robes. At least one other pair had been banished, never to be seen again. Severus picked up his book bag and went to the door. Promises, promises. After the door closed, Harry went into the bedroom and found his clothes neatly folded on the bed. Severus was amazing. And he was Harry's. It didn't get much better than that.
Epilogue, October 31st, 1980.
She had a girl!
Severus raced into the rooms they shared at Hogwarts.
I can't believe she had a girl! I was sure it was going to be a boy!
What? Who? Harry looked up from his chess game with Dumbledore. I believe he means Lily, Dumbledore said, smiling, his blue eyes twinkling.
Right. She had a girl, 6 pounds, 7 ounces, named Sarah Rose. I'm a godfather.
Severus stopped long enough to draw in a breath, and then reached down and kissed Harry full on the mouth. They had been living together for almost a year since Severus had returned from Paris. He'd surprised Harry by applying for the potion master position that had been open when Horace Slughorn had retired. He'd said it was as good a place as any to do his real research. July 31st had come and gone, with Lily only 6 months pregnant, and now delivering a girl. Fate had fixed the paradox without his intervention.
I'm going to flew over to see her now. Do you want to come with me?
Severus put on his coat and picked up a handful of powder.
I'll follow along in a few minutes, Harry said, the fireplace flashing green, and he was gone.
Dumbledore chuckled. You do know that Severus and Sirius are going to try and outdo each other, spoiling that girl. James had wanted Sirius to be the child's godfather, and Lily had insisted on Severus. They'd managed to compromise and have both.
Oh, I do know it. It's going to be fun to watch, don't you think?
Harry forced a smile.
What concerns you?
Was he still an open book?
I'm okay. I actually think this makes things right. The paradox isn't going to happen.
Oh? Oh, I see. And then he chuckled again, his eyes twinkling. I guess you are a close relative of Edward's after all, just not the one I thought.
You thought I was his son?
I think he may have thought so too. Harry didn't like the implications of that.
Why was that?
He told me before he died that he'd owled the Salem Institute about you and was told that they had never heard of you. But curiously, a day later, he received another owl telling them that they'd made a mistake, that Harry Potter had gone there for 7 years and all of his fees had been care of by Ignatius Potter.
How did you?
I didn't. Harry scratched his head.
Then how?
I believe that time doesn't allow for paradoxes.
So even though I remember my other life, you're saying it didn't happen?
Does it matter so much now? Your memories will no doubt fade as time goes along.
He was probably right about that. While Harry could remember everyone he'd loved in his other timeline, enough time had passed that he couldn't remember a lot of the details anymore.
I guess it doesn't matter that much. I've got a life here with Severus. And speaking of life, I need to get over to my cousin's and see his new baby.
We can finish this later, Dumbledore said.
You mean you can beat me later?
Dumbledore inclined his head. Tell James and Lily that I'll be by later in the week to see the baby. I'll see myself out.
Thanks. Harry reached for the powder and his cloak. Time to get on with his life.
Finny.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Reader's Notes. Thank you to Mary for allowing me to record this fic. If you'd like to read it online, it can be found at archiveofourown.org/works/2060. If you'd like to download this podfic, it can be found at paticaproductions.com. Thanks for listening.